You're listening to Destiny Now with Pastor Howard Bass of the Destiny Center in Tampa, Florida. Privilege and an honor to be able to be here today and to be able to stand in the office of Archbishop Poobah Dion, who is, I understand he is on a cruise this morning. He's laid up over at the Vinoy or something. I don't know. Anyway, no, he and Pastor Carmen are out serving in another house. And I know I don't have to tell you folk how blessed the house they're in today is about to discover they are. So anyway, he asked me if I would come in and just kind of say a few things that make sense. And so I have spent a ton of time this week. Now, Pastor told me several things. As you turn to Genesis chapter 40, the pastor told me several things about today that I just want to kind of go over with you. Number one, he told me he usually doesn't preach more than about 3 hours. So anyhow, in light of that, I mean, that's pretty heavy pressure because it doesn't usually take me that long. So I've spent a lot of time this week between Bishop Jakes's, T.D. Jakes's website and Joel Osteen's website. And so between the two of them, I think I'm going to smile a lot and tell you to get ready. If you're not familiar with those two ministries, you don't get it. So just watch TBN a little later this evening and you'll come into the fuller understanding of what that pathetic joke was in reference to. Hallelujah. It is great to be here. I do want to get into the book. And so for those of you that follow us on Facebook, open up your Facebook app and... we'll just preach our Facebook feed this morning. Never mind. I say that because, you know, church has shifted in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, people came to church with a Bible. Now people come to church with an iPad, and their Bible's on the iPad. And you know, I was a little old school, and I had to learn how to let go of stuff that don't fit you no more. Because I'm a Christian. Christians are some of the worst people in the world to let go of stuff that don't fit them no more. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell him he'll be gone in about an hour. Just deal with it. Y'all know it's true. Y'all know I came up in an old school traditional Pentecostal denomination that, you know, that when God moved, what we did was we built monuments around that movement, and then we worshiped the monument and bless God, whether he was moving in that form anymore or not. We loved how God did it back in 1934, and so we worshiped around that paradigm. So when people started bringing iPads to church, and I'm trying to preach, and I'm seeing the glow of the iPad hitting, bouncing off their face, I'm getting mad because I'm thinking, man, they're up on Facebook, and I'm trying to impart the Word of God into them. And then the Holy Spirit slapped me inside the head and said, "You idiot! You just got to understand, you know, they got an app on that." And so then I read an article online that said, "Watch this: that the Bible app, more people have the Bible app than are on Facebook." That's true. That's true. So the point I'm trying to make is no matter what season we are in, we got to learn to get cool with letting God do what he wants to, the way he wants to, because his book is always going to be bigger than Facebook. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what we do is we put his book on Facebook. So turn to Facebook. Just kidding. Genesis chapter 40. And... we do have to learn how to let go. Because until we let go, what wants to come can't come. Look at somebody and tell them there are new things that want to emerge in your life. There are some unexpected shifts that are appointed for you. So, if you have not learned yet how to embrace change and move quickly from one season to another, okay, I came to talk to you today. If you've already mastered that skill, you don't need this word. Nobody left the room, so I guess we're all still learning how to master the skill. Either that or you're just too polite. Nevertheless, I appreciate the grace. So I want to preach. I want to preach and build some truth and understanding today that I think is going to help us. Just because we're anointed doesn't mean we don't have to have skill. And I think that there's a time that we are in now in the body of Christ where God wants to merge the sacred with the secular. So he can take ownership over the secular, because for far too long the church has retreated into the safety of the sacred because we're intimidated by the secular. And instead of a retreat mentality, God wants to give us a take it over mentality. And I have learned that no matter how much Bible we know, no matter how much truth we understand, and no matter how long we've been born again. By the way, have you ever been intrigued to discover that in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, after we understand the revelation of the new birth, that you never find one recorded instance in Scripture of anybody celebrating their spiritual birthday? Why is that? Because not everybody develops at the same pace. Not everybody develops at the same rate. And our ability to develop and mature as a believer is determined by our flexibility. Oh, hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them that's called Holy Ghost Pilates. That's... I'm going to go somewhere with that thought in a minute. Just hold on to it. So I want to help build some skill and some intellect today in our understanding of the Scriptures, bring some things together, show you some things prophetically that the Spirit of God wants to do, but also to help you make the shifts that the Spirit of the Lord wants to bring to pass in your life. But watch this, your will and my will are the gatekeepers to the emerging moves of God. That is a very deep way of saying that God can't move until we let him. Your enemy, Satan, is not the biggest enemy the church has. It's the will of the human being that is resident within us that determines whether he can or he can't. It doesn't matter. It's not enough that God wants to do something. That's why I said there are some things that want to emerge. So you tell your neighbor, there are things that want to emerge. But whether they do or not is up to your will. That's why Jesus said, if you want to know how to pray, if you want to see things happen in your life, so you stop being promise rich but possession poor, you have to make the shift where you say, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There is never an argument in heaven over whether or not the will is done. The will is set. It is settled. It is over. Where God is, it's already done. Where the struggle is whether or not we give him permission to do it in us. That's why Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth, not on earth. In earth. Why? Why? Because if it can get done in this earth, it will get done on that earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So look at somebody and tell them, my will is the deciding factor in what God wants to do. So, for those that like to have sermon titles or message titles, I want to want everybody to focus and pay attention right now. I'm gonna give you what we're gonna talk about today. Shift happens. S-H-I-F-T happens. Shift happens. Don't be so religious that you can't enjoy the title of the sermon. Shift happens. See, I know where your carnal mind wants to go. I know where the secular mind already is. We're going to bring the sacred on the secular and redeem it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, you already know the other stuff happens. What we need to know is that no matter what happened, there is still a shift that will happen. So what God began to walk me through when he began to transform me is he began to open me up and say, son, the biggest problem with you is you. So I said, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, why you want to do me like that? Oh. See, some of y'all, a couple of you, are like where I am. We're still trying to catch up with the rest of the perfect church people. And so you can relate to what I'm talking about, where you heard something and you weren't cool with it, and then you had to really get over yourself and discover that was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't the devil talking to me. And so you get to the place where you realize, you know what, I'm in God's way here. So watch this. Before God can take you to that next level that he's promised you. By the way, let's just do a very informal, unscientific poll at this point. How many of you carry a promise from God somewhere in your life you know you heard from God and it hasn't happened yet? Okay, so I know I'm in the right house. I'm so glad. Somebody just say thank God for Joel Osteen. Anyhow, I only throw out names of popular people that everybody will know. It's nothing against them. It's an idiosyncrasy that I have, and we're dealing with it. But nevertheless, God began to show me that he can't take us into promise fulfillment until we shift our thinking. Look at somebody and tell them, newness wants to emerge. God wants, so what is newness? Newness is something new you're believing for because you're stuck in an old season. But new doesn't just mean new as in not old or the opposite of old. It means different than the way it's been. But the problem is we have to have a shift in our thinking. Our shift happens. Say shift happens. If it doesn't, you can die carrying a promise that's never fulfilled. And that doesn't make God a liar. It just makes you hard-headed. Hallelujah. Let's receive the offering right now. Just kidding. I'm taking my time to give some of you time to pull up your Facebook app on your iPhone. Genesis chapter 40. Seriously, we have to have a shift in our thinking. There are some things God wants to take over. There are some things God wants to do. But a lot of times we get caught up in becoming so individual-minded that we process God's promises and conversations to us in the frame of reference of our own struggles, issues, dreams, ideas, what we want. And so the promise, we become narrowly focused on what the promise can do for us, not realizing that maybe some of the reason why we're going through all the hell we're going through is because God's got a bigger plan that's a lot larger than us. But that yet we are the key to the plan that God wants to fulfill. I want to qualify that as process. Everybody say process. Process. What is process? Process is the war before the door. The war before the door. Everybody say that. The war before the door. So let's read. Genesis chapter 40, verse 20. For context sake, for the purpose of time, the setup of this is Joseph. Everybody knows Joseph, right? Everybody knows Joseph. Joseph has been lied upon. He's been sold as a slave. Originally, his brothers were going to kill him. But then they decided, no, well, we'll just sell him as a slave, because we don't want his blood on our hands, because religious people are always going to try to mess you up and sell you out. Hallelujah. I didn't say godly people, I said religious people. Religious people are people that are so hard-headed, they think they know best how to control your future. But because God is the God of shift that happens, he takes that which shifted against you, walks you through process, and when and where and how you can't see it, begins to shift things in your favor. So Joseph has the unfortunate experience of having God show up and talk to him. Just roll with me. Just relax. Like somebody tell him, relax. He has the unfortunate experience of hearing God talk to him, because he never really knew trouble until God showed up and began to talk. Hello. You know, I know we're Americans and we have this success culture where everything is 5 points to this and 3 steps to that and this key to this and that to this and this formula and that. And so everybody's in our business trying to teach us how to succeed as believers and get everything we want. But the problem is the Bible, it gives us people like Joseph and David and Moses. And Jesus. I mean, they killed him. Sometimes we forget that if you really got an anointing on your life, somebody's going to try to nail you to something and sell you out. That if you carry destiny in you, there's some stuff, there's some shift that's going to hit you that God didn't tell you about when he showed up and talked to you. And you're going to go through a process where you go, my God, why did you talk to me? My life was better before you showed up. Hello. Listen, let me tell you something about God. Holy, we were singing that song holy earlier. Holy does not mean he's hard. The root Hebrew word holy means different. Religion has taught us that holy means God's, he's so sanctified. No, it means he's different. It's a simple revelation of God's way of trying to say, you know what? You cannot figure me out because I'm different than anything you've ever experienced. And your ideas of me aren't the reality because I'm so different. I've got to give you revelation for you to be able to get me. All right? And so because God is different, when he shows up and talks to you about a door, the door to your dream, the door to your future, the door to your promise, the door to your purpose, the door to your tomorrow. Because God is different, he don't do things like we do them. Promotion demands a process because God is different. So God will show up and he will give you the unfortunate experience of giving you a conversation, and then shift hits you. That's where shift means what I expected didn't happen and what I didn't see coming hit me and laid me out. Oh yeah, help me somebody. Yeah. It happened to Joseph. And so his brothers sell him out. He's in a dysfunctional family. Of course, none of us can relate to that, but use your imagination. Your dysfunction doesn't qualify you. It's probably evidence of a significant anointing that seeks to emerge. Because God always has a way of sneaking up on enemies through people that the enemy doesn't see coming. That's why God needs you to be caught up in a contrary current. You know what a current is? It's a particular flow in a body of water. So track with me. Joseph has the dreams that God shows him, you're going to rule over your family. Joseph thought God was saying, you're going to rule over your family. God was saying, you're going to rule over nations. But he didn't get it because God's different. And so all hell shows up, breaks loose. And usually when hell breaks loose and defies your dream, it will do so in the form of people. Hello, hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them 45 minutes, it's over. Don't be disturbed. We will read the Bible before we're done. I promise you we will read the Bible before we're done. I'm setting up context so we don't have to read through 19 chapters to get to this point. So they sell him out. And first they're going to kill him. They throw him into a pit. They strip him of the symbol of the favor of God that had been on his life at that season. It was Jacob's favor. By the way, anything when you go through a season change, when shift happens, S-H-I-F-T, when shift happens, God will allow it to seem like the season has assaulted your idea of what God's favor looks like. When shift happens, God will allow the season you're in and the process you're going through to look like you have lost and been stripped of what your concept of God's favor was. Because Joseph thinks that favor looks like daddy's coat. Uh-huh. But see, in this kingdom, because God is holy, meaning he is different, meaning God doesn't do it like you think he's going to do it. Holy means I got ways of doing stuff you can't see. Your imagination is pretty creative, but you haven't begun to scratch the surface of who I am and how I operate. And when you surrendered to me, you gave me permission to allow my kingdom to come to pass in your life. And that's why you end up in process. Process is the war before the door. Now God shows you the door, but he doesn't let you in on the war that's coming. Are you hearing me? Please somebody tell me I am not a guinea pig or a lab rat in the laboratory of heaven where God just is doing this stuff on me and none of y'all else have to deal with it. Are you hearing me? Has anybody had God talk to you and then the devil showed up and it seemed like what God said was a lie and what the devil said was the truth? Can I get a witness? Look at somebody and tell them that means we're in good company. If God talks to you and your life goes wrong, you are right where you need to be. It's the people that come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, God gave me a word. And then the word comes to pass without any opposition or conflict or contradiction. That tells me they didn't hear from God. Because the book said the word of the Lord is tested. It is refined. It is proven in the fires of adversity. It is placed in the furnace of affliction. In other words, God will give you a word and then he'll allow the enemy to turn up the heat. He puts the thermostat in the hand of the adversary and said, make it as hot as you can. So by the time the shift is over, the only thing that remains is the pure certainty of what I said. So when you understand that, not only does revelation come, but you shift, you make an internal shift in your intellect and how you process information so that a discipling begins to emerge. Discipling doesn't, I'm not a disciple because I gave my life to Jesus 22 years ago and then I planted myself in a church around a bunch of other Christians. Discipling means, watch this, I have made shifts in my thinking at certain seasons where I abandoned my ideas and old perceptions so I can embrace the fuller meaning of what God wants to do. So you've got to lose your coat in one season so a shift can happen, so you end up mantled with something God puts on you that nobody else can take from you. So that Joseph's got to lose daddy's coat. Because why? Because daddy's coat's not good enough. In other words, God was saying to him through that process of them stripping him, I know you don't understand because you're in process. And when you're in process, I'm not going to explain it to you. But what you need to understand is that if I gave you what you're asking me for, it's not good enough. Because my ideas about you are far greater than your ideas for you. So, Joseph loses his coat, and he's thrown in the pit, and they sell him as a slave. Generally, one of the ways you know you're in process is the more you embrace what God said, the harder life gets, and the farther it seems that the contrary current you're flowing in is taking you from your idea of how God will fulfill what he said. Say this with me. The prophetic releases conflict. Prophetic simply means God speaks to you. It means you have a right now word about something in your life. And you know because of the confirming witness of the Holy Spirit, God gave you the word. You didn't get it yourself. It's not pizza, it's prophetic. Two distinct different dynamics there. So Joseph goes through that. He loses his coat. He gets in Potiphar's house. He ends up in a slave market, and one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt happens to buy him. He buys him as a slave. Understand a couple of things. Culturally, Egyptians hated Hebrews. because they hated the Hebrews at that time, the Semitic people of Canaan, the area that would later become Israel that Jacob and his sons were dwelling in. It was a nomadic area where they shepherded sheep and cattle, and in the aristocratic mentality of Egyptian thought, these nomadic shepherds are low-class, no-good people. Joseph comes in to the slave market where Potiphar sees him. And Potiphar just sees an able-bodied, muscular, well-built man who culturally he should have hated. But just because you're in process does not mean your enemy owns your outcome. It may feel like it. It may seem like it. It may look like it. Your head may be spinning. Your soul may be all up in upheaval and discord and disarray, and you may not understand anything. And if you don't, that's right where you need to be. So the Bible says, and Potiphar buys Joseph. It's interesting that Potiphar bought Joseph because he's in a slave market in a major metropolitan area. That meant that there were a lot of other people that could have and should have bought Joseph, but God orchestrated that even in an upside down season and in a time of process, shifts were happening that were repositioning him right where he was supposed to be, even though it felt and looked like the opposite. Why? Because God is different. So he gets in Potiphar's house, and we know the deal. He ends up running Potiphar's house, and he ends up discovering favor. In fact, the book says, and he found favor in the sight of Potiphar, and the favor of God begins to multiply and proliferate all over Potiphar's economics, all over his agriculture, all over the people in his house, all over his business, his employees. Everything begins to flourish. Why? Because what you thought you lost in your last season is going to emerge multiplied in your next season. When you're in process, favor doesn't die, it just multiplies. Are you hearing me? So he ends up favored, and oh, by the way, what happens? He ends up mantled with the garment of a CFO of a wealthy political player's estate. Because Potiphar is the chief executioner of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That meant that his job was to, he had a regiment of men under him that were warriors, and their job exclusively was execute judgment against Pharaoh's political prisoners. In other words, Potiphar is a senior cabinet member to the king of Egypt. He is a close political player. In other words, process is God's way of getting you close to right where you need to be when you can't get there yourself. But it is the brokenness of process where you can't perceive that what God is doing is he is shifting you into position. And I'm talking to people today that have gone through setback, you've gone through struggle, you've gone through losses, you've experienced what looks like the denial and the defying of your dream, but I am here to tell you that what it is shift is just happening. And so he ends up there and he's doing pretty well, and all of a sudden Sister Potiphar decides that Joseph is the man of her dreams. So she manipulates a scenario where she gets caught trying to pressure him into an illicit relationship, and he and his integrity flees, and the Bible said she grabbed his coat. His what? His what? How do you know you're in process? Because a repetitive cycle of loss seems like it's emerging to hit your life. I thought I came out of that, but it just happened again. I thought I was over that, but it hit me again. I thought God had finally freed me, but here it is again. And God said, don't worry about it. Nothing's dying. It's multiplying. You're just in process. So they take his coat. She takes his coat. So what's happened? That coat was a mantle. It was the symbol of the executive favor that was on him. Getting daddy's favor is one thing. Getting the favor of your natural enemy so that he puts you in authority over everything that belongs to him. In fact, Joseph looks at Potiphar's wife and he says, I can't do this to you. First of all, I'm not going to sin against God. I may be the man of your dreams, but you are not in my dreams. I've got dreams you don't fit. And so he says, besides, I couldn't sin against my master because everything that belongs to him, people, property, prosperity, finances, everything. He said, I run this entire place. He doesn't even know how much money's in the bank. There is such a level of favor and trust upon my life that he is not even aware of what his balance sheet looks like. All he knows is the food that's on his table. Now, you can't tell me that that is not supernatural dimension of favor that promoted Joseph in a hostile atmosphere. See, process is God's way of taking you through some hostile stuff, and the hostility against you can't cancel the assignment of God upon your life. And you may go through some stuff, but what matters is not whether you've arrived or not yet. It matters that in spite of all of the process you're in, you're still here. Sometimes in the middle of your brokenness, you got to stand up and say, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm still here. There's some stuff that hit me. Some shift happened, but I'm still here. I slap somebody a high five, tell them, I may not be there yet, but I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. And let me just go ahead and give you a prophetic word. The fact that you're still here means you're already there. You're just in process. So, that process, he loses what? He loses the coat. He loses favor. And he ends up in jail. No civil rights, no property rights, no political rights, no slick $500 an hour lawyer to get him out. Hallelujah, are you hearing me? And he's thrown in prison. The Hebrew word for prison that appears in Genesis chapter 39 and 40 is actually the word dungeon. It is a torture chamber. He's not just in a fit. Psalm 105 verse 18 says that until the time that his word from the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him and his soul came into iron. Psalm 105 verse 18. You don't have to turn there right now, but for reference, it's there. The Bible said his soul came into iron. The word for soul in Hebrew is not the word that we understand our soul is saved. The Hebrews meant the meaning of the word soul to mean the place of desires, appetites, passions, drives, and dreams. So when Joseph is in process and he loses favor and gets thrown in prison, the Bible said that it was so intense that the dreamer in him entered a season of soul iron or torture. He couldn't dream because the process took him deeper than God had told him about. He lost hope. He lost perspective. He lost composure. He lost his passion. He lost his appetite. So then he begins to continue to do something, however, that in spite of the robotics of that season, he turned the key that gave God the power to open the door and to create favor on his life. And that is this: God's ability to multiply his favor upon your life to open uncommon doors is directly related to your ability and willingness, watch this, to serve in an unattractive season. Watch it. It's because of Joseph's soul is in iron. In other words, let's put it in contemporary English. I'm just not feeling it right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm just not feeling this. Say that with me. I'm just not feeling this. Now, I know y'all super Holy Ghost filled people that never develop an oil leak. Y'all know what an oil leak is. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. An oil leak means you got filled, but you couldn't stay filled. You had a crack somewhere you didn't see. And the process pressured you and the oil emptied from you. So now you're empty on the edge. See, that right there was a very simple explanation for a very profound experience that all of us at one time or another are going to go through. And that's when we scratch our heads because we find ourselves asking the Holy Spirit the question, where did you go and how did I lose you? I felt you in the altar. I knew you. You met me on Sunday. There was a word in pastor's mouth that met me where I was. And I walked out filled. And now it's Tuesday at 3:30 and I've never been more empty. What is wrong with me? God said, ain't nothing wrong with you. You're in process. Because the pressure of process, what is the pressure? When your soul is in iron, when who you really are at a gut level, when the thing that God said to you that means the most, that you've carried the deepest and embraced in totality and have built the totality of your life around, and it doesn't come to pass but seems like it's falling apart, so you are emptied and no longer willing to dream based on where your emotions are in that season, but you have to serve your assignment anyway. God said that right there is where favor's going to come from. Yeah. See? And so the Bible says because Joseph developed the capacity, see, a skill level when he didn't have any anointing. He's empty. But he continues to serve even though he's empty. And oh, by the way, I need to tell those of you that have a call of leadership on your life, there are going to be some seasons when God's going to demand that you serve while you're empty so that anything that comes from you is not of you but him. So he gets in prison, and that's where he is. His soul is in iron, and oh, by the way, the favor of God shows up anyhow. You know why? You know why it is? Because God didn't speak something to you. He spoke something through you that carried you all the way through the process to the other side, and that place is called there. There is where you wish you were instead of the process you're in. There is the place God told you of before shift happened. There is the place where you became drunk and intoxicated with the dream of God when you didn't understand that you were going to have to make shifts and changes, and you're going to have to learn how to hit curveballs, and you're going to have to learn how to serve while you're empty, and you're going to have to learn how to have faith when it looks like it is not producing, and you're going to have to lean on that faith without any human understanding. So that even when you don't feel it, you still walk by faith saying, when I'm down to nothing, he's up to something. And it's because of all of that that brings us to where I would like to begin our service today with See, at our church, we don't begin to close till we read the scriptures. And even then, we still don't close. But that's Genesis chapter 40, verse 20. So Joseph, because of his willingness to serve an unattractive assignment when he's in an empty season. Get the verbiage in your mind. I want you to embrace that. An unattractive assignment while he's in a personally empty season. See, process doesn't take you where you want to go. It takes you where you have to go. Because you can't get where God's taking you unless you go where he wants you to go. The steps of a good man or woman are established. The word Hebrew word ordered, that says ordered of the Lord, it means to appoint, to set, to establish, to determine in advance. It's like a doctor's appointment. You call on Tuesday, they get you in on Thursday the 27th at 3 p.m. So that means there's already something waiting you in the future. You're just, watch this, in the process of time. Coming before the door. And it's the uncertainty that precedes the doctor's appointment, the thing that facilitated you scheduling it to begin with. That's the war before the door. Because then you go to the doctor, you get the test results, and you find you didn't need nothing to worry about to begin with. Because God opens and closes. And so Joseph is there, and because of his willingness to serve an unattractive assignment while he's in an empty season, it gives God a vehicle to manifest favor on his life. Let me just qualify what favor is. Favor is God's way of making you beautiful in an ugly season. It's God putting His beauty on you. It gives us ugly people hope. God putting His beauty on you. But watch this. If you got a bad attitude, you can't act like everybody else in the building and expect the favor of God to show up and cancel the idiot in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to keep it real right now because we need to understand we tend to over-spiritualize a lot of things, and one of my assignments as an apostolic voice in the body of Christ is to bring the order of the kingdom to our understanding, and that is that God can do nothing in the earth without the permission of a man or woman who's committed to faith. God can't. Listen, if God could do anything He wanted in the earth, there'd be no molestation, there'd be no rape, there'd be no death. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The human will is the gatekeeper to determining whether or not the will of God is manifest. And it's essential to understand that so we recognize that God didn't just slap favor on Joseph because He felt sorry for him because it'd been a bad couple years. That's not what caused it to show up. It's that no matter what hit Joseph, when Joseph ended up disoriented, somehow he came back to center. He regulated himself and said, you know what I don't understand? I'm going to serve anyway. Nice. And when that was his intellect, his mental disposition, his emotional perception of how he's going to handle what's hit him. So you can't stop shift from happening. You can handle the flow. You can determine the flow of what comes after shift has happened. And when you recognize that, you realize that shift does not mean favor has been canceled. It means God's testing you to see if He can multiply it on your behalf. So Joseph gets in prison, and the Bible said that the keeper of the prison turned everything over to Joseph. Setback, comeback. If you in this season of your life right now can identify, yeah, I've had some setbacks, but I can also identify, they may seem insignificant, but they are significant because they're present. See, being here means it ain't over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you grasping this? So you have to adjust your perception of what's happening in your life. And you have to be able to diagnose, we call it discernment in the scriptures. It means to pay attention and recognize difference. Discernment simply means to recognize difference so you can understand what you're dealing with. So when you recognize, yeah, it didn't happen like I thought it would happen, but it didn't take me out either. Then you begin to process. Then you stop focusing on the shift that went against you, and you begin to pay attention. There are shifts that are present with me. I may have had a setback, but it didn't take me out. In fact, I'm beginning to feel like maybe there's a bit of a comeback. And so you begin to serve that, even when you don't have the full picture, and all of a sudden favor shows up. And now the butler and the baker, the chief, inner circle, cooks, and household people of Pharaoh, people that have access to him, are now thrown in jail. And guess who gets the opportunity to have access to them? Joseph. Do you know why? Because God felt sorry for him. No. Because before he ever got access to the butler and the baker, he had to serve an unattractive assignment in an empty season. And it created uncommon favor that caused, watch this, not now the keeper of the prison, but Potiphar. See, Potiphar ran the prison, and the warden was under Potiphar's authority. When Joseph is first thrown in prison, Potiphar puts Joseph under the authority of the warden. But now that Joseph's been in prison for a while, and he served anyway, he served the unattractive assignment when he's in a personally empty season, all of a sudden, favor begins to reemerge in Potiphar's heart. Because I came to tell somebody with a prophetic unction that somebody who's let you down in your last season is going to return and lift you up in this season. Don't you dare think that God is done with that connection. It ain't over. It's just process. So now Potiphar decides, maybe that stuff my wife was saying wasn't true. But for political reasons, I've got to, you know, to keep my house and to keep my wealth. You see, when politics of life have lined up against you, the process will still promote you. So Potiphar decides, I want the butler and the baker to be with Joseph because I trust him. So there's a breaking out of a favor that's beginning to reestablish itself in Joseph's life. See, favor doesn't die, it just multiplies. Because now you got access to the door that's going to open in the future, that's going to bring the fulfillment of what caused your pain in the form of the butler. So the key is what? Joseph serving in an unattractive assignment in an emptying season. And so while they're there, they have dreams. Look at somebody and tell them he's closing. See, I'm going to spoil today. I'm only preaching an hour and a half. So next Sunday, when Pastor gets back and preaches 3 hours, just kidding. So the butler and the baker have a dream. We all know this. And they can't interpret their dreams. And Joseph walks in to serve them one morning. I don't know whatever he's doing. He's fixing them breakfast. He's doing whatever. And he recognizes that they're sad. And he looks at them and he says, you know why? Why? You guys aren't normal. What's going on? Something's bothering you. And they say to him, we both had dreams last night. We can't interpret them. And Joseph says to him this. He says, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. And they tell him, and Joseph interprets them. Because you may be in a position where it seems like for a season you've lost favor, but you're actually being deeply developed in dimensions that make you more effective and more dynamic and more useful to the hand of God than you can see. When you're in process, you will never perceive your true value. You discover something about Joseph in this process. He doesn't begin to be able to clearly and distinctly interpret dreams with specificity until he gets into the place of soul iron. The deeper he goes in process, the more developed his prophetic gift becomes. And God needs to develop that prophetic gift because that's the only thing that's going to give him influence with Pharaoh. And everything about process is God's way of multiplying the influence you're going to walk in. So he tells them their dreams, and then he and the butler make a deal. Let's read. Chapter 40, verse 20. Joseph says to them, to the butler, I got good news for you. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to restore you to your office. And the baker hears it and he says, oh, this is good. Prophetic words are always good, right? We like the prophetic. So he looks at Joseph and says, here's my dream. Joseph says, well, kind of not going to go for you like it's going to go for him. I'm not feeling the deliverance thing, but nevertheless, you asked, so here we go. In 3 days, I hope your family has a knife life insurance policy because you're going to need it. Because the butler's getting delivered, and you're going to be dead. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, verse 20, the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he brought the chief butler and the chief baker out of prison and restored them amongst their servants. And verse 21, and he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Do you see that phrase? As Joseph had interpreted to them. As Joseph had interpreted to them. I want you to say this. God does his best in the dark. Joseph did not have the gift of deep interpretation at 17 when he had the dreams. Because if he had, he would understood God is talking a lot about a whole lot more than just me dominating my family. He didn't. It's as shift happens, and he looks like he loses favor, and it looks like the contrary current of life is taking him farther from his dream. And every time he dares to believe again, every time he encounters a comeback, there's a setback. There's a comeback, then there's a setback. There's a comeback, then there's a setback. There's a comeback, then there's a setback. And the deeper he goes in process, the more valuable he becomes. Until now, years later, he is able to interpret the meanings of other men's dreams and get it right where before he didn't see it all. Understand? Okay, so what does this mean? God does his most dynamic work in your life when you're in the deepest, darkest place of process. Look at somebody and tell them, your problem is you believed God. So you know what? That means your problem is the enemy's problem. So, Joseph and the butler had made a deal. He said, when you get restored, I want you to tell me, or tell Pharaoh about me and tell him my story, that I didn't do anything to belong here. And the Bible says, watch this. Verse 23, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Can I have just a few more minutes? I promise you, by the time we're done, you're going to feel a whole lot better than you do right now. I am nothing more than a surgeon who's extracting some poison from your system, but I forgot to give you anesthetic. I mean, come on. You know, if you've ever had surgery, you know the anesthesiologist bill's crazy. Anyway, I just saved you a ton of money. That's all I did. It will get better, but can I have just a few more minutes? Yes. Is anybody bored?
No.
Anybody lost?
No.
Okay. The chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Everybody say, forgot him.
Forgot.
How do I know I'm in process? Because there is a repetitive cycle of comeback, setback, comeback, setback, comeback, setback, comeback, setback. Or in other words, it looks like things are finally getting better and then they fall apart like they never did before. Somebody just wave at me. Tell, you know, we still like you a little bit. Come back, setback. Come back, setback. Come back, setback. Process. Instead of going higher, you go deeper. The shift gets deeper. Because your expectations, watch this, when you begin to experience a little bit of a comeback, your expectations, watch this, because a word from the Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a rhema from God. So when you internalize the rhema, or that thing God says to you, it creates faith. That is not human emotion, that is divine expectation that you become pregnant with.
Yeah.
But there are dormant seasons where the dream looks dead. And it seems like the faith you once had died on you. Look at somebody and tell them it ain't dead, it's just dormant. So the practical aspect of it is this, that faith is in you. I'm gonna lay a revelation on y'all right now. Mess up some people's theology. It surely messed up mine when God said it to me. But it's true. It is not about our ability to hold on to God. It is about his ability to hold on to us. We don't get saved by faith and then keep ourselves in the kingdom by works. Somebody hold up your hand and let me see that spike hole in your hand where you crawled up on a tree and saved yourself. Listen, the word of the Lord that you hear, it's not just spoken into you, it is already spoken you through, because in the eternal dwelling of God, there is no distance, there is no space, there is no time. So when a word from another world enters your world, it has already changed the world you're coming into. So what happens is, You carry an eternal covenant in you in the form of the promise God made, and it's not about your ability to hold on to God while you're in process. You discover that God held on to me when I tried to let go of everything because it was beating the living daylights out of me, and I couldn't do this anymore. Uh-huh. See, how do you know that? When you've tried to quit and you couldn't. No. That just messed up our theology right there, because and so what happens is when you begin to experience a little bit of a comeback, that thing you thought was dead, that faith you used to flow in that looked like it died because you're so disappointed, all of a sudden what human expectation does is it's like oxygen to a flame, and it reignites the flame of faith. And the practical aspect is you begin to have expectation again for the first time in a long time, and you begin to perceive doors. Yeah. Or can you relate to what I'm talking to? Yeah. So this happens for Joseph, and he perceives a door in the butler. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Ah, that right there, that's my meal ticket. I'm not going to really invest a whole lot of myself emotionally and spiritually and financially into the baker because I don't perceive a future in him. However, this butler's going to give my, he's going to get my best. I'm going to give the butler my best. Can you relate to what I'm talking to? I'm talking about, I know you can, because some of you, that's right where you are. You've been left devastated by disappointment because you thought you perceived a door, because you endured a setback, you had a comeback, and in the process of the comeback, you began to experience the expectation coming back, and so you emotionally invested everything in what you thought was the door God was going to open, and all of a sudden, the door closed and communication was cut off. How can you say that, Pastor Howard? Well, here's how. Because the Hebrew word forgot literally is the Hebrew word to ignore intentionally, to leave to wither in a bad situation, and to cease to care about somebody. Now, what that word means is that is the Holy Spirit's way of showing us that that's not what Joseph just thought the butler did to him. That was Joseph's perception that God had abandoned him. So Joseph's soul is in iron. He's 2 years now in a place. Because you know why? The hallway of disappointment always precedes the door of divine appointment. The hallway of disappointment always precedes the door of divine appointment. Uh-huh. God's going to open a door. How do I know? Because Paul said, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, "Behold, there is a great door open to me, but there are many adversaries." In other words, I've got to process through some deep disappointment to get to the door of divine appointment that, oh, by the way, always shows up when you're not looking for it. Why? Why are you not looking for it? Because you've been so deeply disappointed, you don't have the emotional capacity to, quote, go there again. Uh-huh. Yeah. So Joseph thinks God has ignored him, left him in prison to wither, and has ceased to care about him. Until that's where you are, you're not really ready for a destiny door. The Bible says, verse 1 of chapter 41, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." The word "full" in Hebrew is crazy translation, but it literally means to feel the effects of an intense heat. To feel the effects of an intense heat. There is no heat more intense than feeling like God has murdered your dream. Yes. I can handle it if the enemy hits me, but when it feels like God let me down, when it feels like God has used you to bless others and then there's no blessing being reciprocated. Oh, help me somebody. I'm going to get right down where we are today and I'm going to deal with some stuff. Mm-hmm. See, because whether or not we are real with God and open with God and honest with God and ourselves about the disappointment we're processing, about the way things haven't gone like we thought they would, you know, We can't hide that from Him. So what we do, not this church. The disclaimer is not this church. This is for that other church, wherever they are. How those folk process disappointment is they hide it with religious behavior. So if I can get my Shabbat and my Hillel and my praise and my offering and my Bible reading and my fasting and my prayer, and if I can get it all right lined up and do it robotically, then I'll be able to convince God I ain't mad that He has not pulled me out. Let's take up an offering right now. Come on, just, no, it's not. Trust me, I've done this long enough. You want to get people happy before they give. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I have the gift of goofy and it's multiplying. I just can't help. Seriously, watch this. We're laughing and I'm trying to be a little bit facetious and take my time, but it's because it's so real. It's true. That's part of the process. Until you're in the place of deep disappointment, you are not ready for a destiny door. You're not. God doesn't open doors that we see coming. God opens doors we don't see coming. You're Paul and Silas and you're in jail and you just delivered a city from a territorial false prophetic devil that has been constricting the economic cycle of a city and robbing from the saints to give to the wicked, and Paul cast that demon out in Acts chapter 16, and instead of being celebrated and having people say thank you, I'm going to come to your church, they beat the daylights out of him, throw him in prison. Shout process. So at midnight, he and Paul and Silas are sitting, in the basement of, quote, an inner prison. That means a dungeon. It's as bad as it can get in Philippi. It's the Philippian equivalent of where Joseph is when his soul's in iron. And all of a sudden, they begin to sing and praise. Now, they're not trying to, they hadn't read Grand Bishop Poobah's book on five steps to Philippian midnight deliverance from prison. They hadn't bought my sermon series on how to succeed in spite of the idiot in you. They didn't have any of that. They just knew that, well, the psalm said, let everything that's got breath praise the Lord. I don't have anything left, so I'm not feeling it. And watch this. They're not trying to manipulate some supernatural experience. Watch this. They're expressing their gratitude for the fact that they tried to kill us but couldn't. I'm not there, but I'm still here. And that's something to celebrate. And so when they do that, the Bible says, suddenly there comes a great earthquake. Or in other words, when you don't expect it because of the dungeon your soul's in, shift happens. So God shifted the tectonic plates that literally run under the ancient city of Philippi, and doors began to open. At the end of 2 full years, after Joseph was emotionally processing and spiritually processing the intense effects of the heat, all of the sudden, God begins to shift a pagan king's dream cycle. And behold, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And behold, he is standing by a river. Now, let me bring this to a point of conclusion. We're not going to read the rest of the scriptures. I've got those up there because I need you to see them. Joseph is what? Joseph is in prison. He's processing the full intents of the heat that he feels from having perceived that God has left him to wither, ignored him, and ceased to care. So his expectations have been dashed. He has no human capacity to manipulate a deliverance. Because most of the time when we ask God to give us a door, we're not looking for up, we're just wanting to get out. But let me lay a revelation on you. If God hasn't answered your prayer for out, that's because eventually He wants to answer it with an up. Up means better. Up means bigger. Up means more. Up means, watch this. My expectation for you are going to totally crush the disappointment you've been in. I'm going to blow your mind with blessing you didn't see coming. Because I'm the God of reward, and what I didn't let you in on is when you were serving the unattractive assignment with excellence, when you were in an empty season, that is to me what faith looks like. So while you're processing all of that, watch this. Shift is happening in your blind spots. Real quick, I'm going to... In places you can't see, God is setting things up to lift you up out of the process you've been in. Okay? And so Pharaoh has these dreams, and nobody can interpret the dreams. Where is he in the dream? And it came to pass, he stood by the what? What is a river? A river in Scripture is two things. Number one, generally speaking, in the Scriptures, symbolically, rivers always represent a change of seasons. Because when you come through a river, you pass from one dimension to another. Watch this. If you're Israel in the wilderness, you come out of process and preparation, and you come into possession when you cross through the Jordan. Watch this. So a river means God just shifted something so that no becomes now. What you've been kept from, you are now released to. So that what has delayed... Watch this, now gets delivered. There's a lot of topography in Egypt. But Pharaoh sees a river. Now there are some practical judgments God is dealing with based on the gods that Egypt worshipped that have directly to do direct correlation to the Nile River and their perception that the river god of the River Nile had to do with their agriculture, their fertility, and their economy. I didn't come to teach that today because though God is showing him I'm going to serve judgment on the pagan gods, I'm going to really show you who's boss in this nation. The river represents something to Pharaoh in terms of the judgment of God, but for Joseph, it's the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. It's a dimension of favor. Watch this. In other words, God is showing Pharaoh the river because this dream that he sees as he's standing by the river is going to create a scenario that only Joseph can serve. So what is a river? Not only is it a boundary in time, it literally represents, scripturally, it is the symbol for a season change. Second, it is a place of currents or flow. It is God's way of showing Pharaoh that God is shifting the currents that had been against Joseph. They're now going to be for him. In other words, Joseph is going to shift because of the shifts of God because it is time. Now Joseph is going to go from having the current in his face to the current at his back. And I'm talking to people today that have felt like there is a current of opposition perpetually flowing against you. And you feel like you've lost an old flow that you're grieving over that you've tried desperately to get back in. But I came to tell you, shift happens. And what's going to happen is the negative, contrary currents that have been in your face are being shifted to get behind your back. And God's going to prove to you He's got your back in this season. You better believe it. It's yours. Somebody shout, it's mine. It's mine. And so, what God is showing Pharaoh is that I'm changing the flow for my people. I am shifting the dynamics so that process must give way to promotion. Abandonment, isolation, and rejection must give way to access, opportunity, and influence. Pharaoh doesn't know at this point he's got a prophet in prison. He wakes up disturbed because he has these two dreams. He doesn't understand God showing there's coming prosperity and then there's coming an all-consuming famine. And so he wakes up and he's troubled and he tells his magicians and his astrologers and they can't answer the dream. And then watch this real quick. Verse 9, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh and said, I remember today my sin. You were mad with me several years ago and you threw me in prison along with another, one of your servants, and we were in the house, the master, the captain of the guard's house, that's Potiphar, and we dreamed a dream and we couldn't interpret it. And verse 12, and there was with us there a young man, a Hebrew, a servant to captain of the guard. You see that? A servant to the captain of the guard. A servant to Potiphar. In other words, Joseph, and though he was sold out, he refused to quit serving. And it created the favor. So what's happened? Now he remembers what happened. Prophetic amnesia. So the butler didn't forget Joseph. God blocked his memory until it was time for certain things to emerge. And so the butler becomes the key that opens the door, not to bring Joseph out of prison, but to bring him up into destiny. If Joseph gets out of prison 2 years earlier, because the butler remembers, all he gets is out. He never gets up. He doesn't own Egypt. He has no influence with Pharaoh. He does not become an apostolic father to Pharaoh, a prophetic counselor to the nations, and he does not become a senator to develop Egypt's senators in the wisdom of God. In other words, process is God's way of saying, just hang with me. What you want's not good enough. So, he brings Joseph out. First of all, the butler getting his memory back, and I'm going to give you six things real quick, and then we're done, I promise, real quick. God gave them to me the other day and said, I am to release them to you, to us, as a prophetic word. These are things, these are events that are going to begin to play out, tangible manifestation of events that are going to begin to happen in your life, those of you that have been in process, that this has been a prophetic word for today, you're going to see these things happen. First of all, I'm going to give you five things in a second. First, I need to tell you this, that the butler remembering, getting his memory back, is God's way of causing you to recover what you thought you lost. Now, recovery doesn't look like what we think it looks like. Recovery is always better than what I perceived it to be. Remember earlier in the message I'm talking about the loss of favor? The loss of the coats? That speaks to our perception of how God has to favor us and what his favor looks like. You've never seen the favor of God like he's about to put it on your life. You have no frame of reference. That's why I started the message by saying you got to be willing to make shifts in your thinking. One of the reasons God takes us through process is to make us more flexible. Because the more we let go, the more he can let come. The more he can release, the more comfortable you get at quickly letting go the moment you discover something no longer fits you, the bigger the room God can release you to. So that when this is over and Joseph stands before Pharaoh and gives him the prophetic meaning of the dreams and then gives him a strategy to deal with it, the Bible said that Pharaoh took his coat, a king's mantle, the highest symbol of authority in that land, and he puts it on Joseph. I'll gladly give you what I used to wear if I can come into what's on you, because I like what's on you better. No disrespect, but let me break it down into terms we can all understand. Do you want Walmart or do you want Armani? Do you want bologna or do you want filet mignon? Do you want VW or BMW? Help me, somebody. Do you want your little corner of land or do you want God's universe? Watch this. Do you want one address or do you want nations? I'm going to say some things prophetically. And also I'm going to release something that God's put in my spirit about this house. So real quick, five things you're going to experience. Are you ready? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. And these are the things that happen to Joseph when shift happens. You've been having bad shifts happen. Now you're going to begin to experience good shifts. Not just good shifts, but great shifts. There is a shift in your personal economy that is coming. There is a shift in your dreams that is coming. For those of you that are in leadership in this house and you've been processing your way through some deep personal disappointment, there is a mighty shift in the authority level of the mantle you are going to move in. Let me say it again. There is a greater mantle of destiny that is coming upon the headship of this house. And I'm not just saying it because Bishop ain't here today, but I'm saying it because it's true. You better get ready to see God take this house and give you elevated influence in this city and in this nation. Let me put it this way. Through your leadership, God is releasing this house to the nations, and you better hear me. Get ready for more. Get ready for more. Get ready for more. Larger. More. 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 God's gonna take your church places you never thought it would go. God's got dreams He's gonna give your leaders they haven't even seen yet. God's gonna put a mantle of kingship upon Pastor and Carmen, and you're gonna see God work this vision, and you're gonna take a generation. I said I had five things. The longer I stand up here, the more I get. See, things multiply in the anointing. So, five things. Are you ready? You see this happening with Joseph. Now, where is he? Processing deep disappointment. He doesn't see the door coming, right? He's in soul iron, right? All he's used to is bad shifts happening, right? People bring resources. And those of you whom the enemy has used, or whom the enemy has used people to disappoint you the greatest in relation to the dream and the promise God gave you, God's going to begin to send people to restore you. Economic restoration, dream restoration, motivational restoration, physical healing in your body, relational restoration, total, complete recovery. Because recovery doesn't mean you come out of something. It means you come up into something you did not understand was prepared for you. So watch this. Right people are going to begin entering your life. Number two, God's favor is canceling the assignment of the disappointments of your last season. I'm talking right now to those that are processing deep disappointment, and you've done everything you can to not let it make you bitter, and you feel like you're losing that battle. And God said, don't worry about it. I've seen your heart. You're struggling with that issue, but I know that you're the core of who you are. In your heart, you're not bitter. You're just processing the fallout of some negative emotions because of the level of disappointment that's hit your life. I know how to handle wounded people. And I know how to handle you and your wounding. So you need to know I am going to favor you in such a way that it is literally going to cancel disappointment's assignment. You will not carry the disappointments of your last season into what I do now. They will not hinder you. They will not limit you. They will not create dysfunction in your relationships. They will not limit your faith. They will not hinder your imaginative, creative self, because I'm calling you to dream like you've never dreamed, and no weapon that seemed to have superiority against you in the place of disappointment will be able to follow you into your palace. I have closed that season. Number three, doors are going to open you don't see coming. If you see it coming, it's not a God door. A great door, a great effectual door, is surrounded by many adversaries. It's crowded out. How do I know I'm coming into a door I can't see? Not because I see the door, but because enemies are multiplied against me. I don't see the door, I see the battle. I don't see the door, I see the war. The war before the door. So doors are coming that you don't see coming. Number four, God is getting some things to you that you haven't been able to get to. Just let that sink in for a minute. Specifically in relationship to the depth of the dream you carry, what have you been reaching for but that has been eluding your grasp, so that the emptiness of your grip mocks you? What is it you've reached for but it didn't reach back? What is it you assigned your expectation to but you couldn't get to? You've returned your reach empty and disappointed. God said, what you can't get to, I'm going to get it to you. Joseph had no ability to make that butler remember him. And 2 years later, all of a sudden, guess what? A promise spoken becomes a promise remembered. In other words, God's activating and authorizing the release of the resources you need in direct relation to your dream, your assignment, and His purpose for your life. And what you can't get, don't worry about it. It's getting to you. You, watch this, you are the assignment of an open door. You are the assignment of blessing you can't manipulate or orchestrate. In fact, let me say this to somebody. You are the assignment of favor you can't see coming. Number five, your future is opening up to you in unprecedented dimensions of access and opportunity. I'm going to say this to you personally and for this house. Levels of influence must be qualified for. You don't have influence because you're smart. You have influence because you're favored. But God can only favor what's been cultivated through process. And as God was dealing with me about our time this weekend, one of the things God impressed upon me strongly, you know, and I know Pastor's not here, and so I want to honor that, but I know that I have to say it, is that there has been assigned to this house by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see it happen, a level of influence. One of the reasons that that your pastors aren't here today is not because some preacher friend asked them to come. Prophetically, in the times and seasons of God, it is because God is elevating their stature in the body of Christ. And through their leadership, He's giving this house influence. Now, both in this city and nationally, you're going to become a house of recognition. God said, because of the process, I'm elevating the influence on your life. Watch this. And when you honor what God is putting influence on, you increase in influence in your own life. Talk is cheap. Honor is tangible. And if you sow honor, you reap favor. And so in closing this message, one of the reasons God is going to elevate your influence, look for it in your family, look for it in your finances, look for it in your job, look for it in your prayer life, in ways both big and small. Those of you that have been wrestling to birth things in prayer, there's going to come an open heaven over your life, and you're going to stop praying prayers for deliverance and escape, and suddenly you're going to open your mouth and there's going to be an authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit that grabs a hold of your spirit and begins to decree breakthrough in the earth, and it's going to open up and you're going to reap the life of an elevated influence. Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So you know what just happened today? We entered the river where shift happens. We've crossed into a new dimension in time. So what's your job? Your job is to expect. And then when you begin to distinguish that God is doing these things I've said, you begin to flow with it. Because one of the things that happens when you shift from a current being in your face to now it's at your back, suddenly you begin to discover accelerated change, and you flow in a momentum you've never had. So if you have been faithful, you are the favored. I want you to look at somebody and tell them that. If you've been faithful, you are the favored. Everything about what Joseph went through was for one thing. God needed to be able to give him influence with Pharaoh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Influence changes everything.
Yes, it does.
You are no longer going to be walking through a season where you have felt like you've been without his help. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, as we have declared what you put in my heart, my mouth to say today, God, I thank you that according to what you showed Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, you said that the Lord God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. Father, I ask you for the raising up, the elevating of kings in this house today. That, Father, those that have been in the brokenness of process will discover the shifts where the current now is at their back and things are opening up. God, for anybody today that has battled great disappointment, that has been in the dark place and in the blind spots where they can't see what you're setting up and they've wrestled with great disappointment, I thank you for freeing and loosing them from it. And I declare over their life that the residue of this season will not be able to follow them into the future that you are fulfilling in their life. I cancel the assignment of every contrary current so that there is a shift in the families, in the finances, in the lives of your people, where they live, where the process has touched them the deepest.
Thank you for joining us for the Destiny Now podcast, an online outreach of the Destiny Center in Tampa, Florida. For more information about the Destiny Center, check us out online at www.tdctampa.com.